Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Always great to sit in for Jim, be a part of the biggest and most important show in our industry. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, when you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Brian Weber with you. Jim's in the basement, so you got to deal with me for three jam-packed hours. I'm going to, though, do my best to make sure you have plenty of opportunities to get involved. 1-800-636-8686. The goal is to take a call or two in 20 minutes. That's the goal, subject to change. By now, you should know I'm all about that Twitter life. Say it with me. BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Emails, keep them brief because I can't read anything too long anymore. That's RomanAvatake.com. And to further demonstrate that the goal is to be clone friendly, I'm having a good time with you. This is not the Brian Weber Show. Many versions of that program have been canceled on various national networks. I'm never going to bludgeon you with guests. And today, we're going with a skinny rundown. The only skinny thing in the studio. Just two guests, none in this first hour. In fact, another voice will not join me other than perhaps you on the phone lines until we get to hour number two, talking baseball with Joe Sheehan, RotoWire and the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. And then we wrap up the program in the final segment. In addition to all the NBA conversation coming up to tip off the program, we'll check in with our pal, Steve Kyler from BasketballInsiders.com. So I have a plan and I have a roadmap. And the aim, the ambition is to have a conversation with you. So I'm betting on the clones. That's not going to blow up in my face, right? I'm sure that's going to go just as I planned. And let's get a few things out of the way. Although I probably should have been smarter when I was tweeting early this morning from my luxurious one-bedroom apartment. I think I was trying to be preemptive when I gave you the McRib image. I know the tweets are coming. It's not Brian McRibber with how many B's that might be in those two words. We're not doing 3 hours of fast food, but I am receptive to any direction you want to go. And just to pay it off, let's start the program with tweets. Then we'll get into what happened with the Lakers last night because the sky's been falling here in Southern California. Justin in Melbourne. Finally, the man, the myth, the legend, Brian Weber filling in for Tance Mack. To quote Bart Scott, can't wait. Justin, of course, my cousin. How about RB north of GR? Bad news. Jim is still in the basement. Good news. Weber's subbing. It means McRibs will be back on the menu. Signed, Charlie Weiss. Weber, and I read these probably in the wrong order because if I'd gone with this one, I would have been preemptive and not read that horrible observation. Jeremy in Green Bay. Brian, how do you feel about personal appearance smack being show fodder on a Monday? I guess I've already broken one of the rules within the jungle. Finally, Carl and Prescott, hopefully Brian's getting paid time off from Bob's Big Boy this week. I would have loved to have been in the chair last week. Our pal Bill Ryder did an exceptional job as always, but because California is slowly getting back to normal, the reopening is proceeding in the right direction, things have gotten busy at Bob's Big Boy. So in addition to me being the mascot out front holding up that platter, my boss said I had to work a swing shift and I wasn't available last week. So I am ready to take you around the NBA. And let's start with the game you probably missed because it tipped off late for the majority of the country listening east of the Mississippi. Suns and Lakers. And thankfully for Uncle B. Webb, this game was decided in the third quarter because while there is technology, and they could have DVR'd things or gotten up at 1:30 in the morning to come up with these scorching thermonuclear hot takes, decided to watch as much of the game as I could last night before I collapsed on the couch. And the Lakers provided me with a gift because this one didn't feel like it was going to play out the way it did. Now, I guess we shouldn't be stunned that the Lakers won because Anthony Davis had been elevating his play as of late. Good news is when he had the back spasms, apparently, that's just an aberration, anomaly for now in a big word Monday. So, played well heading into the game against the Suns, and he was explosive last night. 42-12-5. Factor in what he did the game before. Back-to-back games over 35 points with a ton of rebounds and assists. And without that Herculean effort by Anthony Davis, where would the Lakers have been? Because they've been in free fall coming into that game. They had dropped 8 of 10. No Kyle Kuzma. Still no Schroeder. He's been in the health and safety protocol. And most important, no LeBron. Although we still don't know precisely why LeBron is not playing, because he's been coming back gradually from the high ankle sprain. It's Brian Weber for Jim Rome. Hop aboard 1-800-636-8686. Because we are fully vaccinated, we're going old school. Ritt has my permission if he actually gets out of the chair. And that's a big ask when you have the fill-in hack on this side of the glass. He'll hand me your tweets as we roll along. As an aside, because it's all Ritt all the time, my former producer has blown past me in the career arc. Driving to work this morning, I saw on the dashboard a song was playing I'd never heard of. Apparently, there's something called Ritt Momney. So now I got to deal with you when I'm not in for Jim. You know Ritt really thinks he belongs in this chair right now, right? It's the definition of privilege, and I'll leave it at that. But back to the Lakers. So LeBron has been dealing with the lingering effects of the high ankle sprain. A couple days ago, Frank Vogel, in a very puzzling decision, told the media, LeBron's not playing because he's not here. Not health-related. What are you talking about? That's when the Lakers got blown out by the Clippers. LeBron decided to show up last night. I guess that's a step in the right direction. We don't need a medical analyst to join us. And I specifically went with a modified rundown to give you a chance to chime in with calls and tweets, because here's the timetable for the return of LeBron James. Whenever he damn well feels like playing basketball again, because we know not only is he the GM of this team, he's running the league. Although, apparently, he did not get a vote when it came to the play-in tournament. So, the Lakers still in the 7 hole, although the schedule is better moving ahead, because coming into the game last night against Phoenix, as I was trying to crystallize my thoughts, I figured Lakers lose again, I can do 3 hours of bashing a team that is flawed and poorly constructed because they went all in with 2 superstars. And we know that Anthony Davis had the injury history coming out of New Orleans, dealing with the Achilles issue this year. LeBron, while he's superhuman, eventually even a cyborg wears down. But instead, that game also told us a lot about Phoenix and why I think they are nothing more than a regular season story. Remind me a lot of the Hawks a few years ago. Remember when the Hawks won better than 60 games and flamed out in the postseason? I think it's going to be the same story for Phoenix, most notably because, barring a change during this final week of the regular season, then it's on to the gimmick that is the play-in tournament. Lakers as the 7th seed. Let's say they play Steph Curry and the Warriors. Now, you can say the NBA is tinkering with things just to try to get a better rating, build up more interest, make this last week of the regular season somehow more compelling, because typically it's teams that are out of the mix going 1-2-3 Cancun in the huddle, and teams that have their seedings locked in decide to rest the starters and go with younger players. So in a normal 82-game regular season, the last week prior to the postseason is largely unwatchable. So I think the NBA undeniably made the right decision because of all of the components at play this week heading into the play-in. And while LeBron a year ago when he was holding court in the bubble said, yeah, that play-in concept, great idea, a week ago roughly said, whoever came up with this idea is an idiot, because he quickly did the math. Based on his inability to get back on the floor, the Lakers are very much in the mix of having to be that 7th seed. But let's say it is the Lakers and the Warriors. Effectively, single elimination for one team. Wouldn't that feel like when we all figured out that it was Stephen Curry, not Stephen Curry, when he was playing for Davidson and was out of his mind? Sign me up for that. Yeah, maybe it's contrived. It's non-traditional, but we live in a world now of 5,000 options across every platform, and you have to try to grab the audience. So if that's the game, and I'm not rooting for any teams, I'm not Laker B. Webb. There's no Laker flag on my car. I wasn't chanting in my apartment, "Go Caruso," last night. I'm in the content business. I'm looking for compelling and interesting things to talk about. Give me the Lakers and the Warriors in a play-in game. Might not shake out that way because Lakers have a manageable schedule coming up. Take on the Knicks, and we'll talk about that nice win yesterday and Julius Randle now in line for a massive payday, and that would be the most Knicks thing ever, right? Take someone shining in a small sample size and throw too much money his direction. But after that, the Lakers against the atrocious Rockets. They head to Indy, and the Pacers have their own internal issues and conversation. The coach is about to get whacked, and then they wrap it up at New Orleans without Zion. So it feels like, depending on what happens with Luka and the Mavs in front of them, and Luka is now, to me, starting to play in a way that's reminiscent of Chris Paul. What is with the attraction of hitting a opposing player in the nether regions? What is that all about? Don't just tell me, Luka, that was muscle memory. Like it was some kind of involuntary action. He knew what he was doing there, but he's going to, I think, keep the presence of mind so he doesn't run into the excessive technical issue and be a modern-day Rasheed Wallace. So you got Dallas in front of the Lakers. You have Portland in front of the Lakers. But for the Lakers right now, it's a matter of how much are you buying Anthony Davis's ability to sustain this? Because even when LeBron comes back, whenever he chooses to, because he's the king after all, LeBron could be now in a position where we can't presume health, especially with the accelerated postseason schedule. They're going to be playing these games deep into July either way, but the NBA, especially now with the addition of the play-in tournament, is going to have a little bit more speed than we're accustomed to come playoff time. But LeBron has shown us in the past he is capable of being transcendent. So let's presume LeBron plays up to his normal, exceptional level. Can you then say with a degree of confidence that Anthony Davis can keep doing this? And I'm going to say no. As much as I respect Anthony Davis, when I was much more in the college basketball world, covered his Final Four 2020 in New Orleans. Remember, we were talking about Anthony Davis as a lock to win an MVP award early in his career. Well, some of that has come down to he was on a lousy team in New Orleans. Some of it also a byproduct of his inability to stay healthy. And also, a fellow named Giannis burst upon the scene. And why aren't we talking more about the Bucks? That's a rhetorical question. We'll get there in hour number two of the program. Want to be solely focused on the West to start things off, and then we'll shift our attention to what's happening in the Eastern Conference coming up in the second hour of the show, plus some Aaron Rodgers talk. It's not just good radio and TV with the simulcast on CBS Sports Network. At this point, it's the law. But if I have to project how things play out, I think at this point, given his injury history, we have to presume at some point we're talking about Anthony Davis not being available due to whatever is going to flare up. And who do you realistically believe can then fill that void? Don't tell me Kyle Kuzma. Is Andre Drummond even on the Lakers? Remember how splashy that move was? Oh, it's going to transform the Lakers in the paint. How'd that work out for LA? But if I'm going to be balanced, who do you really believe is capable of beating the Lakers if they get in to the postseason, if they survive the play-in gimmick? Because the guys in Vegas, and we sit here as talking heads. I was going to say analysts, but I call Pac-12 softball when I'm not here. So I'm not going to get into the world of self-gloss. I'm not an insider. I don't break down tape, but I've been around the NBA for more than a few minutes, and I follow the league closely and passionately. But if you're just trying to handicap the Western Conference, are you really going with Utah? I know they have the best record in the West, but Still waiting for Spider Mitchell to get healthy. The Suns, to me, are a mirage, although later in the program, I'll make the case that Chris Paul would get my MVP vote. Two things can be equally true. That is not a contradiction. And because, for better or for worse, I am consistent, I love the McRibs. I love clutching this microphone. When I'm in the chair, the subtitle of the show is The Old Man and the Microphone, because this thing just wants to stray. I watch Jim. Jim is perfect here. Alvin's looking at me. Get right on that microphone. I need it in front of me like heroin in my veins. But as we think about where the West stands right now, I'm going back to what I told you repeatedly over the summer when Jim finally took his much-deserved vacation. And this is going to sound bizarre if you know me at all locally here in L.A., because I made a nice living at the former flagship station of the L.A. Clippers on the radio that flipped to Bollywood music because I was on the air too frequently. It's easy to say, same old Clippers. I could do 20 minutes of the Clippers will break your heart. And all I have to do is go back to last summer in the bubble. I'm the guy who told you the Clippers can't lose. They're deeper than everybody. Kawhi has championship experience. When you're wrong, double down. Go all the way to rock bottom, stone cold rock bottom. To me, it's the Clippers that have the best chance of winning. I know they lost to the Knicks yesterday. That's one game. Relax. Plus, remember, it was a matinee in L.A., and L.A.'s open, so wouldn't surprise me if the fellas were having a good time on a Saturday night here in Southern California. Paul George can't play any worse, right? Isn't that the ultimate degenerate gambler take? He's due to show up in the postseason. I think in terms of shot construction, he physically could not hit the side of the backboard again like he did last year in the midst of that epic collapse. And I love the addition of playoff Rondo. So if we're trying to figure out what the end game is going to look like in the Western Conference, give me the Clippers. I think the Lakers were content to win the title last year. I'm not saying LeBron's going to tank things. I'm saying LeBron has already achieved one of the goals. He knew last year was the opportunity to get that fourth ring, get closer to Michael. This is a bonus season that you get the sense a lot of players didn't want to be out there. And that's another reason why I think the Suns are merely a regular season story, because this was just a funky year with all the COVID restrictions and the accelerated schedule. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. We move quickly when I'm lucky enough to be in the Hall of Famer seat. 1-800-636-8686. Emails RomeAndAvatake.com. More of your tweets coming up, although Garrett Ritt doesn't want to actually work today, and that's fine. Adam Hawk used to give me 40%. We're down to zero. Although less than zero is his nickname. Not even here. That's fine. I have the support of the clones out there. I know you won't let me down, or I'll be screaming into this microphone as I clutch it for the remaining 2 hours and 40 minutes. I want to hear from you, and I also want to make sure we're balanced. So the NBA is going to dominate the program, but we'll get to the NFL, not related to Aaron Rodgers, although he might be beefing with Roseanne Barr. Details coming up. Plus, whatever happened to that other Hall of Fame quarterback who wanted to leave the only team he's ever played for? And your phone calls if Ritt feels like answering the phone. Just getting warmed up on a Monster Monday. You're in the jungle. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you. Thanks for sharing part of your Monday with us. Always a absolute pleasure to be in for the best in our industry. Jim Rome, want to make the show interactive, although we do have standards, and Ritt says your phone calls have been terrible, but I'm going to give the number out frequently, and I am receptive to having a conversation. However, since it occurred to me driving to work today, I am now in my fifth year filling in for Jim. Just a phenomenal opportunity that I savor every time I walk in the studio. My history with you as callers is not great, and I realize my style is not conducive to rolling calls, plus the big names want to stay away. 1-800-636-8686. However, if you normally can't get through, I'll be transparent. You have better chances when you have a guest host. And if you're looking maybe to grab a golden ticket down the road, use me as batting practice. I am a pinata after all. Coming up, we'll talk some NFL. And then in less than 20 minutes, I'm going to respect the program. I know this is a big house for horse racing. I'm not getting that in-depth as to what's going on. Wait a minute. You're telling me that there are allegations of doping and a positive test in horse racing? And Bob Baffert is linked to it? Shocking. Shocking. And Canelo Alvarez had another magnificent performance. We're not going to do 15 minutes on the sweet science, but my takeaway was, man, 75,000 people showed up for a sports event. We're back to a degree of normalcy, or we're back to real life, at least in Texas. NFL conversation on the way. Tweets are going to dominate today. Let's run through them. Wells in the 360. Of course you aren't doing 3 hours of fast food. You're doing 24 hours of fast food. Could be a fillet of fish in my future. Although, when they went from the wrapper to the box, to me, it lost some of the texture. What's in the box, Alvin? What's in the box? Geoff and Lincoln. Damn it, Ritt. Regards. B-Web, when Ritt asked, or I just blew this one. Damn it, right. Regards, B-Web, when Ritt asked, did you eat all my Rice Krispie bricks? Okay, that was terrible, and I read it badly. A winning combination. Quite Californian. Hell yeah, Brian Weber in the house. Dude, fast food and Pac-12 talk all day long. Let's get it on. All I said was, I call Pac-12 softball. There's you want the try. Highlights, go to Twitter. Left B.W. Weber. Weber with two B's. Ken and S.A., Webs, whoever made the McRib, a limited time only menu item should be fired. Sincerely, LaBall James. So we are doing personal appearance McRibs. Smack. And one more. Carlin Prescott. We talk Bucks all the time and love our customers giving us more and more of it. Signed, Five Guys. I still don't understand that one. And what? No IKEA tweets yet? Ritt has done all the work we're going to get out of him for the remainder of the program. Coming up, we will start the second hour of the show with the latest on Aaron Rodgers. If you're tired of the story, here's the bad news. Nothing is going to change for the foreseeable future because the Packers opted not to make a deal on draft night. So they have no incentive. In fact, they have no financial motivation to do anything until at least we get to June 1st. If they make a move after that, they get massive salary cap relief. And the other thing that's going to continue to drive the NFL talk, and not like the NFL needs our assistance, they're a juggernaut. And somehow the schedule release this week becomes must-see TV. You know the teams that are coming up for your club in the fall. It's just the order of the teams, but because the NFL crushes everything in its path, that'll dominate the midweek news cycle before we get to the NBA play-in gimmick. The other thing that's on the horizon, and I know this is a little bit mundane, but I'll connect the dots coming up. We've had so little access to professional athletes because of a global pandemic that's not done. Anytime there are actual gatherings of athletes at a facility that at a minimum, depending on what state the franchise is located, Zoom access can be there. Or better yet, if we're talking about teams, Florida, Texas, other states that have opened up, maybe actual old-fashioned press conferences with reporters in the room. Coming up next week, OTAs start warming up. So even though we know Aaron Rodgers, if he gets his desire, potentially is never going to step foot in the Packer facility again, his teammates are going to be there. And you know, question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and everybody on the roster will be briefed about the talking points. Aaron's situation's going to play its way out. We only talk about players who are here. I love that. That's Coach Speak 101. We in the media have a job to do, and we know how to ask the same question over and over and over and over and over again. So the Rodgers story is not going away. And it's going to be interesting what happens in Seattle over the span of the next week, because wasn't there a whole long conversation that Russell Wilson wanted out? That he was not pleased with the state of the franchise? This was before Aaron Rodgers grabbed the entire sports world and hasn't let it go. Remember that? Was that ancient history? Did I misremember that? Like Roger Clemens on Capitol Hill? Was that like the season of Dallas that Bobby Ewing wasn't on and then he walked out of the shower and said it was all a dream? Wasn't that long ago that Russell Wilson was on the record saying this franchise has issues that need to be addressed. And then suddenly, because I pulled up the quote, I want to make sure I had some substance beyond the rambling. When Pete Carroll addressed the media prior to the Seahawks draft, he said, quote, "We're not trading Russell. We plan on him being here for a good while." So basically, he just yada, yada, yada the entire Russell Wilson situation, and it's gone away. Now, some of this may come down to the fact that Russell may not want to push it as hard as Aaron Rodgers. Russell's in a better situation, I think, in that division, although we're talking about the Packers making it to consecutive NFC Championship games, but Russell is younger than Aaron Rodgers. He has a longer time horizon. If you're just looking at how that division's going to play out, let's just start at the quarterback position. Undeniably, you go Russ at the top of the list, and then Kyler Murray, too. Stafford is just a stat accumulator. He's a placeholder for the Rams, but at this point, anything would be an upgrade over the turnover machine that was Jared Goff. And then the Jimmy G, Trey Lance combo, however that plays out for San Francisco. So I think it could be a byproduct of Russ maybe just wanting to vent, maybe in the wake of Deshaun Watson talking about he would never play for the Texans again, and we know how that situation radically changed, and we still don't have clarity on all that civil litigation and the NFL's investigation. Remember, Deshaun Watson doesn't have to be charged with a crime to deal with a suspension, as we saw in the Ben Roethlisberger situation years ago. I don't know what motivated Russ. Maybe he was only looking for marginal changes, and perhaps he's satisfied that it feels like he got an offensive coordinator that he likes, that the Seahawks did make a move to bolster the offensive line, picking up Gabe Jackson, that they re-signed Chris Carson. They gave one of his favorite targets, Tyler Lockett, a big contract extension. So was Russ just in a place mentally where he felt like venting a little bit? Was he trying to motivate the team to help him? Because we know, if you're thinking about the numbers beyond the gaudy passing stats and touchdowns, he's also taken a beating. But some of this comes down to his playing style. To his credit, he's always looking to extend every down. But I just find it fascinating that this felt like a quick spike. If we're just doing a line of Russell Wilson, who has virtually said nothing in his career, I'll give you a small Pac-12 connection. I was calling a basketball game. His sister happens to play for a school in Palo Alto. Russ was there, joined us on the air. Couldn't be nicer. He's got a book about adjusting your mindset. Maybe he was living his own gimmick, and you have to speak things into existence. And all he was looking for was a few changes. But I can't recall an explosion of media attention. We had a list of teams that would be the desired destination, and it all went away. And to connect it to Aaron Rodgers, which is coming up to start hour number two of the program, could we be looking at the same situation with Rodgers? I don't think so, because we're dealing with radically different personalities, players in a different position in their career. But if Russell Wilson is precedent, maybe Green Bay just has to make a few moves to satisfy Rodgers. Although, based on what they did in the draft, doesn't feel like they want to play ball. And the primary difference is Green Bay is owned by all of us. What a wonderful novel concept. The fans own the team. Yeah, we all have equity. Well, that leads to two outcomes. Packers have been historically, notoriously conservative, and there's no real decision maker. Mark Murphy is a steward of the community. There's no owner that Rodgers can go to and say, this is what I want. Whereas in Seattle, it's Paul Allen's sister after Allen passed away, and we know that Pete Carroll effectively not only controls the franchise and has that great relationship with the GM, ownership defers to Pete because he looks like Mr. Peanut and has that monocle on the sideline. Personal appearances not show fodder, unless you're a guest host. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. If you know what happened to Russell Wilson, let me know. I'm sure we can talk about future Ciara. I'm not as suburban as I sound. 1-800-636-8686. More of your tweets if Ritt feels like working. Garrett, on your way to getting cup number 14 of the hot chocolate, maybe you could print me more tweets. We'll
Can't
see.
Can't do it, baby. Can't do
Aaron Rodgers conversation. It's not enough to take on the good people in Titletown. Now, potentially, he's got to deal with Roseanne Barr. Details coming up to kick off hour number two. Straight ahead, it's a homage to this program. I listen every day. I know what's important in the jungle. Are you telling me that there's controversy in horse racing? I would never have seen that coming. Plus, because combat sports is a huge part of this program, Canelo Alvarez unified the super middleweight title Saturday night in front of a crowd of 75,000. Is that going to happen all around the country, or are we looking at Texas v. California? But beyond that, beyond the spectacle and another fight for the ages for the pound-for-pound champion, why do many more of you, and based on your tweets, I'm going to say it's the majority of you, care more about the farce that's coming up between Mayweather and now all of the Paul brothers? I think he's going to fight them in a Texas tornado match than legitimate boxing with one of the greatest in the history of the sport. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. More of your tweets coming up. It's BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Now, though, let's get you a sports update. Andrew Bogish has all...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Feels like it's going to be a lot of tweets and emails. I'm cool with that. Twitter handle, BW Weber. Let me explain why I do that. Not only because I am an annoying radio hack. I was working yesterday at my other job with a softball great who I had not met before. She was going to tweet promoting that the game was coming up. She said, "What's your Twitter handle?" And I said, "It's Brian Weber." And she said, "Weber with one B or two." I wouldn't lie to you. I've been very transparent on this program. So there is some reasoning behind that very annoying affectation. Weber with two B's. Emails RomanHaveATake.com. No guests coming up for another hour of real estate. We will not have our first guest join us until roughly 1:40 Eastern, talking baseball with Joe Sheehan from RotoWire.com. So the plan was, let's take calls, man. I'm working overnights at Bob's Big Boy. I'll do overnight radio. But I also realize the way that you and I interact, because I'm just talking to one person. If that's the case, why am I yelling? Many of you don't want to call when Jim's not here. That's fine. So tweet at me. With a reminder, we're also going to give you a chance to go in-depth because it's time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later in the show. I might answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Alvin is smiling because I enunciate. You have to. It's part of the job. More tweets. And we got to work on not only the selection, but the ability to give me a little more time to read these. Ritt is just setting me up for failure left and right. Garrett, I made you. Just a quick staff meeting with the fill-in host on the air. Years ago, a now-defunct national platform, Garrett was assigned to be my produced. This was so long ago, we actually cared about his job, was wonderful, helping me come up with show topics, got me some of the biggest names in sports. I went to our boss, who didn't even know how to turn on the lights, and say, "Hey, this guy deserves a full-time job." Ritt parlayed that into his spot now on the best show in all radio, and he's just setting me up for failure. I don't understand what is motivating you. Oh, I got you. You were so transparent, shining like that chrome dome. Ritt wants me to bomb even more than I normally do so he can sit in the chair. Dude, you're not playing chess over there, all right? You and the Swiss Miss have a good time together. Okay, B-Web, I wouldn't be lying if I didn't tell you I wasn't disappointed that you're the host today. Regards, Eric in Colorado. So that's a 1, 2, 3, a triple Lutz. So a double negative is a positive. Then he went back negative. Eric, I get the vibe you're not a fan. Ken in SA. Webs, I really think the Clippers are going to win it all this year. Sincerely, the guy who goes to McDonald's actually expecting the ice cream machine to work. I found out the hard way yesterday. When they say we're not serving lunch until 11, 10:52 a.m. ain't going to cut it, even when you're yelling into the, I want my McRib. Geoff and Lincoln, maybe this will be better, and we're going to cap Geoff, all right? The quota is no more than 3, because they'll send you 30. Ah, searing pain.
I see blood.
Regards, the bald elderly dude struggling to walk tweets into the studio.
Oh,
or
pain.
Old man Ritt using a carrier pigeon to send tweets into B-Web as I continue to step on the drops because I am deaf. All right, one more. B-Web, that is a big deal about AD getting 40 last night. It took me 30 days to get my 40 signed. Papa John.
40 pizzas in 30 days.
Aaron in Iowa. The goal as the guest host is to not destroy the program. I'm not going to elevate it. I understand. This is the best show in all of sports media. And also provide some continuity. So as much as I want to, in a shameless self-promotion, talk about myself, what other things I'm lucky to do, I also listen to the program every day and know what Jim does on a Monday. So given his connection to the sport of Kings, I would be remiss not to acknowledge what's going on in horse racing, but I'm going to tread lightly here because I also know Jim has many relationships in the industry. But should we be surprised at all? We're talking about Bob Baffert having another controversy. I'll be kind. And if we think about his history, not only allegations and positive tests, yeah, we're talking about a sport that has had decades of allegations of less than integrity motivated decisions. I'll leave it there. I don't know much about what's happening with Funky Cole Medina Spirit. If Tone Loc was involved, I'd had much more interest. But even with my casual knowledge of what happens in boxing, and yes, I know Eddie Arcaro once rode a horse to a triple crown. Horse racing and boxing share a lot in common with the dysfunction of the sport, balanced by the fact that still millions of people care about it. But wouldn't this be one more obstacle for horse racing here in California? There's real talk about potentially abolishing it because of all the deaths, unfortunately, at Santa Anita. So just when you thought, okay, we have the pageantry of the Kentucky Derby, although NBC's got to stop lying about the post time. If you tell me it's 3:20, and Mike Tirico's phenomenal, but Mike, have a little bit of your own independence. You can't tell me they're going to run a 3:20 and then go Pacific time at 3:54. That's just false advertising. But horse racing can't get out of its own way. And the same thing, I think, applies to boxing. And we're not going to play the hits about, well, I'm 50, and in the 80s, we had all the super fights, and my goodness, in Miami, at the Orange Bowl, Arguello and Aaron Pryor, I'm not jumping into the hot tub time machine. Still, given the importance of, we'll call it combat sports, and I know this program's become much more MMA-driven, in large measure because the audience is never wrong, and so much of the reaction out there is now swayed towards the UFC over boxing, understandably, because UFC actually delivers the fights you want to see. When you have Canelo Alvarez in the ring, it's worth noting. Now, it was interesting because I was inclined to at least track the fight, and because I love boxing back to its glory days, I thought, all right, maybe I'll put down a few bucks. I'm not going to look for the piracy feed out there. Where is the fight? The good news is I had Jerry Jones to help me. Some people have Alexa. Hey, Alexa, where can I find the fight? I have Jerry Jones because he was hosting the spectacle, and he told me where to go to watch it.
Fans that can't be there can enjoy the fights live on DAZN. I can't wait to be there in person at AT&T Stadium.
DAZN. Did I mention boxing has issues? You know how much money DAZN is paying Canelo Alvarez for the rights to his fights?
DAZN.
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 Is that a spinoff from the Rockford Files? Angel Martin might be the master of the long con, but he met his match taking on DAZN, the district attorney played by Robert Conrad.
DAZN.
So I didn't get the fight. I didn't have to. I was not that intrigued by the notion of whoever Billy Joe Saunders is. I think he jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge back in the day. But what I did find impressive, following along on Twitter and then getting the confirmation, is that they had 73,000 fans in Jerry's World, speaking to the mass appeal of Alvarez, who really is a North American superstar, and we're all desperate to go back and watch sports. But why, if you want to watch that, aren't you somehow forcing boxing to get its act together? Because are Joshua and Fury ever going to fight? The sport is so broken, more of you care about the nonsense of Floyd Mayweather and now both Paul brothers. We can just give you a little bit of what happened last week, hyping this farce.
Absolutely. Let's make it happen.
Listen,
yes,
King Kong Bundy thinks that's a bad work shoot. Boxing deserves to be a better sport. It needs better leadership, but I'll be yelling about that for the rest of my life. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers. Is it just a money grab? Details next on...